Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. You know what? Fuck it! No, I'm sorry. I apologize. I botched the goddamn intro. Do I do that often? No. Do I do it ever? No. First time for everything, ladies and gentlemen. What is Heroes Talk? Oh, glad you asked yourself. And I'm glad I pretended that you did because you goddamn didn't. Heroes Talk is a fine network of podcasts, including Best in Show Radio, Bug Zapper Radio, Truth Time Theater, and this little thing we're doing right now. And when I say we, of course, I mean me, Ken, and also, as always, a guy named Steve. Steve, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty good.
Wow. You know what? Nobody brings the fire like Steve. Nobody brings the goddamn heat like a guy named Steve. How are you doing tonight? Pretty good.
I'm gonna do it.
Can't
like
complain.
Run of the god remixes.
Run of
remix.
Yeah, just constant explosions, sirens.
Should I stop listening?
And meanwhile, it's the same tired fat guy just hitting a button. It's not. There's nothing exciting in that studio. It's a tired. It's one fat guy hitting a button, and somebody shuffling papers and just dropping little stickies in front of him. But no, it's fucking. It sounds like goddamn Desert Storm. Like the fucking president is going to be explaining to the citizens what's going on.
I think that's when it started.
Desert Storm.
Desert Shield.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was Desert Shield first. I forgot.
That was the defensive.
Well, we did this. Remember the '90s show last week.
Oh yeah, that's right.
If you recall, episode.
I'm sorry, I can't forget the '90s. I can't learn to accept the 2000s.
That was 375 last week. We're doing 376. 376, Steven.
Big number.
It is, and we have a bunch of stuff planned. I mean, we do our preps, you know, weekly. We try and come up with some stuff so we're not just blindsided. Because let's face it, Steve, over the course of doing this show, there have been more than a few times when I would throw it over to you before we would do any prep, where you're like, brr. So, Steve, what's going on? Just a fucking a guttural or unenthused noise. And then I would know that I'm in just a fucking, as C-Rock would say, a tailspin. An absolute fucking tailspin.
Hey.
No links in the chat. Hey, no links in the chat. But it's been years. We're closing in on what? Actually, we've already done 8 years at this point of recorded shows. So we're closing in on 9. For having done this show, if you include the unrecorded, let's just stream this to anybody who listens shows, and too bad that magic wasn't captured. Holy shit! You want to hear something fucking terrible? Go back through the episode archives. There's a portion of the episodes where you know, you see the summary, you see the little icon, but then you get into this no man's land. Where we didn't think to write down what it was about. We didn't think to summarize it with a picture. We just fucking uploaded it, and whatever it was, it was. And when you get to the very goddamn end, it's episode 20-something. 27, perhaps?
27, yeah.
There's a goddamn reason why. It starts at episode 27.
Jimmy is the co-host.
And believe you me, 27 is no prize. There are episodes that exist pretty much, I think, on my computer where
They need to be explained. They need to be summarized. They may even be on DJNewsStyleShow.com. But goddamn, they are frighteningly horrible.
I'm going to go listen after the show.
I'm not going to let you listen to these.
You said they're on DJNewsStyle.com.
These are deeply embarrassing to me, but I guess I shouldn't be embarrassed of it because
I was probably on it.
Well, I'm not embarrassed about those parts because, if anything, that's excuse for it for me not holding it up. I could say, well, I was frustrated because naturally Steve was on substances, probably marijuana. Or alcohol, and I was frustrated at his unwillingness to speak.
I was probably taking a shit.
There were times when you would just not even say that you were doing it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I would have a conversation, explain an entire point, and say, right, Steve? And I'd be met with fucking the ambient noise from your basement. Just the ambient noise from your fucking basement, which sometimes, Steve, at that point in the show, was far more insightful than some of the things that you almost said. But you did bring up a lot of stuff, and I think we've grown as podcasters.
I was more crazy back in those days. I was into like all sorts of fucking crazy shit, like just stuff that I know is not true anymore.
For example.
Like Ormus water. Have you ever heard of Ormus water?
I don't know what that is.
It's they call it white. What is it? White powder gold water. It's supposed to be like a you know what an ion is, like an ion of an element.
Yeah.
It's like the outside valence shell has lost or gained an electron, and it's basically chemically different than it in its natural state.
Sure.
So this is an ion of gold. That's supposedly very hard to make, and it infuses with water. And basically, you mix this shit together, and you get this clear water. And supposedly, there's all sorts of healing properties, and it makes you smarter. And if you keep drinking it at like a good point in your life, like a point where you're healthy, it'll preserve, you know, your healthy lifestyle for a long time and make scars go away and all this shit. And I was like all into it, and I thought it was real, and I'm just like, this is stupid.
Yeah. Well, what I'm getting into here is that you think about what we decided to do with this show. We decided to just to do something fun to, I guess, entertain ourselves and maybe entertain other people, and we've done that. And as we progress through it, like, you can tell that we've improved. We've picked up knowledge and skills that, like, we would never have even thought of learning, like how to fucking work a mixer, how to wire up all this equipment, how to get this going so that I don't have to smell your fucking breath every week. We don't have to hang out. There doesn't have to be a commute. How to get that to happen and how to get it to work favorably on both ends.
Technically, I've never commuted to do a show, ever.
No, no. You have commuted to hang out for an event, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's a lot of stuff that we've learned, and we started in 2004, really. But I mean, 2005 is when it picked up. I had an interesting moment when Amanda was playing some stuff on her iPod, like the iPod she's had forever, and it hooked up to her iTunes account. It's got all the shit that was purchased on it, and she's listening to her country horse shit that I kind of halfway like. And I mostly hate, but I kind of like it, and I can get by it.
There's always some good. There's always some good of every genre. I mean,
very diplomatic of you, Steve. Yeah, it's. I don't know how many times you can listen to somebody sing about how they're driving in their dead friend or fucking dead relative's truck, and they're keeping it just the way he kept it, because that's the tribute they're going to give you. Gonna tear up every road in this town. Oh, shut the fuck up. I don't care. It's just hideous. But anyway, so it goes from one of those songs to like a Fats Domino song. She's like, what the hell is this? And I had to think.
I would have been happy.
And I had to think. I'm like, oh, I bought that. She goes, why did you buy that? And I had to think. I'm like, well, I do like the song, but it's not why I bought it. I bought it because I couldn't find it illegally, and I wanted to play it because I wanted to play it on the show. I wanted to actually use it as background music as we talked about Hurricane Katrina when Jimmy was co-host and he told me that Fats Domino was fucking missing. cruel shit that it is, but like...
Was that true? Was that like a thing that happened? Like after Katrina, people were looking for Fats Domino?
He told me this like when we prepped, I think the day before. And this is years ago. And I'll tell you, and you'll know it's years ago when I say the next point, but... So I'm like, oh, I'm going to get every Fats Domino song I can, and we'll just play it, you know, intersperse it through the show, and then talk about Fats Domino missing for whatever we could use with that to make a sick, insensitive joke and have fun with it. As it turned out, when we actually started doing the show, I didn't know this, but Jimmy sent him out. He just said, he blurted out right away, "Hell, they found Fats Domino." And I'm like, I have all these fucking Fats Domino songs that we're gonna play. Now it's like I'm a fan of his, and I'm not. Like I'm like we're gonna celebrate the life of Fats Domino, like any fucking small town morning radio would do. I wanted to just kind of toy with the potential demise of Fats Domino.
Jim really understands.
But the point is, well, I couldn't find it on any of the usual haunts to get an MP3. I couldn't find, so I had to purchase them. Now, what I'll do today is I'll go on YouTube and fucking just instantly find the song.
Right.
But I
convert it.
But either YouTube did not exist because it started at some point in 2005, or it was so new that people just didn't create fucking videos to distribute or share music.
Right. Right.
It's such a fucking no-brainer now that you go to YouTube and you're just like, yeah, fuck it. The audio is good enough. What am I making? Quadrophenia? I need fucking hugely great audio? No, I just do a shitty podcast. Let me just play whatever the fucking 32K bitrate coming out of the streaming video. So, I mean, we've come a very, very long way. And something that Clayton had asked me to maybe get into or touch on would be the maturation of our skills, I guess. Or like a... how we've matured,
or degeneration of skills.
Well, no, I mean how we've matured as broadcasters, I guess. And I don't really consider myself a fucking broadcaster, but now that I think about it, I've done fucking 360 fucking shows, shitty or not. I'm a goddamn fucking broadcaster. I don't know.
You know, I was thinking of that. I was just going to get cigarettes before I was driving back, and I'm thinking, I'm like. It's kind of weird that you said this because I was thinking that we've done this for 8 years, and you know, like I've critiqued people who do radio, like, you know, calling baseball games or football games or just people, you know, like I appreciate people like freaking Mike Francesa and Michael Kay that do 8 hour shows, you know, and have people call in and have people heckle them, like, you know, but then I figured, you know, we've done so many shows. Like, yeah. We've done hours and hours of broadcast shit, and it's actually amazing to me, because it never seemed like it was something that was hard to do. You know, like, we always talked, we always had stuff to go on and keep going, even if it wasn't that great.
Now think about what we do. We record our show, and we have a small amount of people that are dedicated that show up to hear it live. Every Tuesday night, they come to the chat room and hear us talk. They see my stupid face. They listen to your stupid voice. Let's face it, we have stupid fucking voices and we say stupid things. And and only my stupid face is visible to them. So they come every week and do it. I agree it is. Because to be honest, your fucking Facebook page profile, that unsightly picture you've chosen for your Steve the LARPer Facebook page is frightening.
I took that picture specifically to be a picture on my Steve the LARPer Facebook page.
It looks like it's coming through a crack in a wall that I have a chair in front of the fucking door. Yeah. Shit. It's just fucking amazing. You think about the things that are commonplace now. Like, yeah, you record it and you post it and someone can download it. And you're not the only one doing this. And you're not like... and it's not odd if you do it. People actually do this shit now.
Yeah.
And now professionals do it. Like, for years, radio shows would never be recorded. I mean, only by the station to play it when the DJ wanted a fucking day off. Or only by, like, super fans who were in fucking declared insane and made to look like fucking maniacs because they would record every show of like Howard Stern or Opie and Anthony to cassette and fucking keep a library of them.
Yes, I knew a kid like that, but it wasn't either of those. It was actually the Z Morning Zoo.
What?
I swear to God, you know those like briefcases? Christ. Remember those plastic briefcases that had like three rows, maybe held 30 cassettes? It was like a 10 by 3.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
10 deep, 3 wide. Yo, he had like 3 stacks of those about 6 feet high.
Of just of those the cases. Zoo?
Z Mornings. There was some other stuff, but it was mostly Z Morning Zoo. Like 90%.
I can't imagine the wasted effort that is. To preserve the zoo.
I think he had a timer. I think he had a timer on.
Well, I mean, even to like curate
the
thing.
Radio?
Like, you said he has a briefcase filled with cassettes. They're probably labeled. They're probably kept in order. I mean, the guy is maintaining the most idiotic
name. There were
name,
sheets. He had sheets in each one. A sheet with a summary.
Inane of banter. Episode. It's just terrible. I mean, for example, Howard Stern has had great moments. Howard Stern has been a fucking amazing, funny show.
So is Opie and Anthony.
Opie and Anthony, amazing, funny show. Yeah. Shows like Ron and Fez, Opie and Anthony, Howard Stern. They've done a lot of shit, and their shows are worth saving. I just thought of something, actually, this weekend, driving to Amanda's family's Easter celebration in fucking Philly. I mean, great, great people, good time. God damn it, it's rough driving. It's rough driving, actually being driven and sleeping in the passenger seat. Let's just say that. She's like, oh, no, I'll drive. I'm like, all right. Nap time it is. Maybe I'll wake up, look at my fucking Twitter, and go back to sleep. But anyway, I was just thinking, I heard someone doing a British accent on some show or something, and it just made me think of this one line. Anal baby was me best chum. And I said it out aloud, as I frequently do when I...
What was it again?
When I'm reminded of things, I'll just say them aloud. I said, anal baby was me best chum.
Anal baby?
Yeah. And I say it, and Amanda doesn't get it because she has no idea what it is. And naturally, not a lot of people would. This is like a moment that I remember driving to work in like 99, maybe 98. Where I heard Howard Stern doing a fake bit with Sweaty Spice, a fake Spice Girl. And all I remember is that it was a fake Spice Girl, and she had given names to all the different Spice Girls. And the one line I'll never forget is, anal baby was me best chum. And I said it, and Amanda couldn't get it. Today, I could search for anal baby was me best chum, and goddamn if that isn't in my fucking recent searches, so I need to really be careful who I give my fucking phone to.
Oh my God.
It's like salmon recipe.
Anal baby was my best
Fats
chum.
Fats Domino. Google. jQuery. Anal baby was me best chum.
Oh my God.
Guy Fieri asshole or something like that. All I did was search for anal baby was me best chum, found a fucking YouTube video, a YouTube link in a post on a goddamn forum. Someone posted the entire fucking bit. Now, where do you think that fucking clip came from? Some lunatic recording the fucking show.
Yep.
Some lunatic just recording it. That's how, and they were fucking insane for doing it. Now, commonplace. Record everything. Document everything. So when we started, we were kind of in an in-between area. Not a lot of people were really streaming radio. It was kind of a really fucking nerdy thing to admit to be doing.
It still
kind of is, but not as much. Because people know what a fucking podcast is.
But you know what? Like, that was the way newspapers were. Like, nobody took, like, the online version of something for, you know, the online editors and writers that posted articles. Yeah. But now, like, some of them, you know, look at what's his name from TMZ. The dude is, like, one of the most, you know, revered.
Or how about the fact that that Huffington Post is owned by fucking AOL? Like, that's a valuable property. TechCrunch, they're multi-fucking million and billion-dollar companies.
Yeah.
A lot has taken place.
We should both be much richer than we are.
pretty much, not you.
I should be too.
For the idea man? Are you going to just bark at somebody who's going to bring it into existence?
Yeah.
You refuse to learn how to make these technologies, Steve. That's what's holding you back.
Okay.
It's funny when whenever someone finds out that you work as a developer, they're like, oh, you know how to make fucking apps? And I'm like, I could probably figure it out. I'm like, figure it out. I got an idea. Everybody's got a fucking idea, but they're never going to fucking do anything with it.
Well, no, my problem is I can probably figure it out, but never have an idea.
I'll make you a fucking millionaire. Fucking millionaire. Well, you're saying you don't have an idea or you do?
No, I'm saying I'd be less of the idea man and more the guy that would learn how to be able to code something but never have an idea how to, you know, make it interesting. I can learn coding easily. It's just I can't learn to code in a unique way to make a, you know, something different.
I mean, you don't need to learn to code in a unique way. I mean, you need to have...
You just need to have an idea.
Yeah, you do.
That's what I'm saying. I never have those. I never have any ideas.
I mean, at this point, maybe it's worth just building anybody's stupid fucking idea. But the problem is they won't pay you. They're like, I'll make you a partner. I'll give you a percentage on my fucking business. Oh! Equity on your business that's not going to do anything?
Oh, yeah.
Let me work for a month and build your product for you. For 20% of nothing, fucking douche.
The latest truth
time. It's going to be Angry Birds with Minesweeper. Okay? Picture a cross between the two. But instead of bombs, it's pigs. Shut the fuck up. Just shut up. You want to do it? Make your own fucking thing.
They did that on the newest Truth Time Theater. Someone, I forget who was saying they were looking to shoot like a short, you know, movie just make a movie.
Josh wanted to work on some scripts. And so he just put an item out on Craigslist and he got hit with some decent ideas, I guess. Some actual ideas that were scripts. But then he got hit with this one fucking maniac rambling terrible. That was terrible.
Before you go on, he did mention in his Craigslist ad that nobody was getting paid for it. It was just like an experimental type of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least he said that. So you'll find people that are just doing it for the fun. But yeah, then he got some dog shit from somebody, and the guy was like, if I see this on the silver screen, I'll know who to sue. Like, shut the fuck up.
And it wasn't even a script. It was just like a story.
No, it was like the transcription into Notepad of a fucking letter that was written with fucking cutout letters, cutout
first
typefaces.
In Korean, then translated through Google Translate.
Yeah. Anyway, so I guess the what I wanted to touch on was when we started the show, the idea of using Skype was fucking brand new. Skype was new. YouTube not really a factor. Didn't really exist. Shows were pretty much just people with one mic plugged into a computer and maybe they would figure out how to stream music behind their voice.
Was there anything before YouTube that was like YouTube?
Vimeo was like a couple months before.
All right, but it wasn't ever really established. Like,
I remember the first time I saw a video and it was a fucking flash video thing, like a flash embed.
And it was super fast, right?
What the fuck is this?
And it was
I'm like where's the play
fast.
Button? It was just some bitch singing and then someone running up behind her hitting her with a fucking book. Like she was singing in a computer.
Nice.
It was fake bullshit, but it was pretty amazing. And that's one of the first things I saw. I guess people just kind of figured out that you could use it as a front end for video. I guess our maturity of broadcasting is that we kind of still enjoy doing it, and we're more comfortable behind it now.
When
we started, I believe, like the thing that that really fucked us up is that when we started it, we didn't have anything to talk about. We were relying a lot on the listeners to just be there and bounce shit off of.
It's like going into a popular chat room, and then opening the mic, and then being in control of the mic, and then trying to herd the chat room into.
I mean, we
that was weird how that actually worked back in the old days when we did it.
We had
people would raise their hands in the chat.
Not even.
Too many raised hands.
Even before that, it was an AOL instant messenger room. You had to send a fucking link that people would click on to get into a group chat room on AIM.
Holy cow, that's right.
It was fucking horseshit.
Wow. I totally forgot about that.
And the fucking the link that you'd click on to listen was a link to my computer.
Yeah.
You would hear my fucking my IP address, which I'm just giving it to people, begging them to listen to my stupid voice, and I can only support X amount of people. I didn't have a central server, none of that shit. It was pretty fucking crazy.
Wow.
And here we are on Ustream, able to play any fucking piece of audio you can imagine. If it was recorded by some maniac at some point, I guarantee you it's on YouTube right now. If you remember a piece of a song, do you remember the Al Bundy or the Married with Children episode? I almost called it the Al Bundy episode. That's how important of a character he is.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the episode where he heard a piece of a song and couldn't remember it, and it was him,
yeah,
him, and he spent the whole episode trying to get the record, finally finds it. And then stupid Joey Tribbiani fucking breaks it with his feet at the end, and that's the whole thing. If he just typed him into Google today.
That was that late in the series? It was Joey Tribbiani was on it?
Yeah, that fucking episode would never have been written. If it was written today, it would never fucking be written. They would never use that plot point again. It's just amazing. And some of the things, I guess I was watching Breaking Bad, and that came out at an interesting time, I guess five seasons. When they started, every character's cell phone is a fucking flip phone.
Nice.
You'll never see a smartphone in that show. And when you watch it, if you haven't, when you watch it, when illegal activities are discussed on a cell phone, they conclude the call by snapping the phone in half. And then they just throw it away. Because I guess that in the realm of the show, disables the GPS and they'll never be able to track it.
I never see anybody
using a fucking smartphone. And I wonder if it's just because they started before smartphones were like the shit.
And they had to keep true to the timeline, even though it's 5 years in the future.
Or if it's because the characters need to snap the fucking cell phone in half every time they make a call. And it's a bitch to break an iPhone in half. I'd really like to, if I get a new iPhone,
fun.
I'd like to see how hard it is to snap an iPhone in half.
Half? Like clean in half?
Just take it and go, you think you can do it?
What, with your hands, you're saying?
Yeah.
I think it would be dangerous, but I could do it. Hmm. I don't know.
Sandwich Humor Jeff from Truth Time Theater is saying that they're all using burners. I'm guessing that means like the disposable.
Phones that you ditch.
But the thing is, it's not. Well, I mean, I guess if Hank's wife is also using a burner for her cell phone, it's even characters that are not committing illegal activities that they're trying to conceal. It's like, oh, this character has a cell phone. Naturally, they're gonna have a fucking anything before the LG chocolate was released, like a fucking Samsung Flip or a goddamn Razor. I don't know.
I still have a couple. Yeah. Some saved ones I never sent back.
I mean, I had mine. I don't know where they are. When I got the iPhone, my mom's like, maybe I could have your phone. I'm like, or maybe you could just get the free one. Like, at this point, the fucking free flip phone is much better than my phone from 3 years ago that was with me in the shitter. Like, you don't need... there are folds in this fucking phone. There are places for bacteria to hide. You don't need this fucking phone. It's
you know
nice.
I was just reading about...
don't need it.
It was IBM just ditched their biggest supercomputer that's 3 years old because it's so outdated and the power consumption on it is so high that they're paying so much in power bills on it that they're
send
just
them a note, see if you can get it, play some Bejeweled on it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And the thing runs, you know what? It runs on cells, cell processors, like nice. PS3. It's a manipulated cell processor, but they're throwing it away and making a new one.
Gambit is going to actually take ownership of it and post pictures of it on Facebook 20 years from now.
Yeah.
He says it's
pick it up cheap.
It's the first system to do petaflop computing.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
They're throwing it away.
Yeah, now all that technology and all we use it for is to gawk at a college athlete's broken fucking leg. Did you see, and I know you did, but I'm just saying this to transition, did you happen to see the fervor over Kevin Ware's leg?
Yeah, it all started, I was just putzing around, I was just on it putzing around on Facebook, and this is during the NCAA tournament. I don't really watch basketball. When I did, I watched NBA. I never watched college. But like three people are all like, oh, my God, that's horrible. And then like another guy's like, I've never seen an injury in a game like that before. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, this has got to be an NCAA game.
Oh, so when you see someone say, I've never seen an injury like that, you need to see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
my fucking. Yeah, I agree.
Like,
I'm with you.
I said, which game? Like I replied, which game?
I could be helping somebody with a life or death matter. I need to take note of this. Right. I will be looking for this person's plight later on.
Oh, no. This was immediate. As soon as I saw like three people talking about a horrific injury, I'm like, I need to know. And I kept asking, like, I didn't say, you know, what happened to who on what team. No, I said, what game was it? Just so I could search the game like over and over on the internet and find pictures.
Shit.
So
I saw you post something on Facebook and you mentioned me and Clayton and you're like, I know Ken's into this shit. And I watched it and I wasn't that impressed with the video. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. His leg's a little floppy. He fucking landed weird. Big fucking deal. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I've seen, Henrik Larsson break his fucking leg on
because I posted
Celtic.
The first video.
I've seen fucking Sid coming off the rope, landing fucked up, just snapping his leg. I've seen the MMA guy just fucking kick and then try to land on his foot that actually isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Oh,
I'm like, those are so much worse. And then I said that to you, and you sent me this fucking horrendous link where you actually see about 6 inches of his fucking shin sticking out through a hole.
The shin bone.
The bone. The shin bone.
The bone.
Coming out of his fucking skin. And he's screaming. He's on his back screaming. His leg is... actually, his two legs are forming a backwards P. Look at it. He's got his one broken, fucked up leg raised in the air, but his foot is just dangly. And I'm amazed. Not a lot of blood. Not a lot of blood.
That's why I was. You know, I was kind of surprised because, I mean, I guess we should link it in the chat if
it's done. It's there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, last year. I think it was like maybe 2 weeks into the baseball season.
Yeah.
Jabba Chamberlain from the Yankees, he broke his leg. They said, you know, like in the same way from what I hear. But, you know, this happened at his house and there's no pictures or videos or anything. And they said he was on a trampoline and basically he fell off the side and landed like sideways on his leg and the same thing happened. And like the day it happened, I remember it was Al Leiter was reading the article and said that two of the EMTs had thrown up, and one thought that Jabba was in imminent danger of death.
Oh, shit.
Due to blood loss.
So same injury.
Like, same injury. It was just that Jabba was fucking bleeding. Like, he must have, like, the bone must have cut an artery in, like, his calf or something, you know?
Was he wearing his hope rope?
Probably not.
What the fuck do you call his stupid rope necklace?
I hate those things. No, it's pseudoscience. It's like those things that they say are like made of copper. Like you wear copper bracelets and a
bruise. Is that really what it is? Like he's trying to keep the fucking the heavy metals out of his bloodstream.
Exactly. Like they all
and
go
just
to your
hovering feet. Around his fucking collarbone for some reason. Like that shit is so stupid. It's like I wear this copper bracelet because I have heavy metals in my bloodstream and it the magnetism and the conductivity of this metal. Fixes Dude, it. What is he going to do? What the fuck is it going to do?
It's not going to do shit. Mark
Cuban. Of course
Cuban,
not.
If you ever watch, what is it, Shark Tank? Mark Cuban.
I hate that show.
But Mark Cuban hates that fucking pseudoscience complete bullshit.
Good.
Like, because someone had, you know, some kind of wristbands that they were trying to sell that they said, like, took, that gave you, that made your ions in your body negative. Right? Like, so Mark Cuban's like, do you have any doctors or any kind of scientific proof behind this? And the guy's like, well, we have research from a private institute. He's like, no, real scientific research. The guy's like, no. He's like, I'm out. And he hates that shit. He had videos where someone was trying to sell them in the locker room of the Mavericks, and he fucking takes the whole fucking display and throws it in the garbage. He's like, I don't know who got let this in here, but it's not staying in here.
It's funny.
And every time you see someone on that show with like some kind of hokum, you know, like fucking you know, snake oil, he just flips out and he's like, where's the scientific, you know, paper behind it? And no one ever has one.
If only Andre Ware had copper socks, he would have just completely been saved.
Yeah.
Which is funny that you mentioned there was so much blood from Joba Chamberlain or whatever the fuck his name is.
Joba the Chamberlain.
Joba or Joba?
It's Joba.
How about just fat fuck with a rope neck?
Yeah.
Fat fuck with rope neck.
You know what? He had the same injury. This is the thing. He had the same injury a year ago. He's pitching now. He's good.
I'm looking at Andre Ware's. He could wear those fucking socks tomorrow and just not tell anybody. He's like, oh, these are new socks. They're brand fucking new.
There's no blood anywhere. There's no blood even
under.
These
are fucking 0 day socks. Right out of the goddamn plastic. No fucking blood. Nothing. You don't think they reuse socks? Is this a really naive fucking thing that I have in my mind that they have their own socks that they bring in their bag?
They have brand new socks like every single game. And I think they do that in almost every sport. Not hockey.
So there are listeners in the chat room that hate the image that we just posted there. I don't know. I needed to see it. I needed to see the gruesomeness for some reason. I mean, it's like terrible. But what I like about this image isn't the terrible bone sticking out, the foot dangling. I really like the people that aren't paying attention in the background. Because this is close enough that you can see the front row. And you see,
doing
like,
insider stock trading.
There's a guy whose fucking back is to the goddamn shin bone sticking out of the skin. There's a guy that's probably talking about how, you know, we're really getting fucked on Apple here. I don't understand. You tell me, how the fuck is Google at 800 and I'm kicking around 425 with fucking Apple stock? This is fucking bullshit. They're just looking at each other and they're just fucking having a goddamn conversation. And this college NBA hopeful, I guess, I don't know how good he was, but he's in the goddamn March Madness tournament. He's playing on TV. He's obviously hoping this is a career opportunity. He's fucking screaming his fucking life out with his fucking bone possibly getting infected by the fat fuck breath with goddamn cotton candy fucking spittle air.
Think of all the shit in an indoor stadium with thousands of people all fucking inside there, and your bone and your marrow of your leg is exposed to all that air.
Yeah, I guess they say that you have 10 hours before bone death is like a guarantee. If your broken bone is exposed, it's got to be treated within fucking 10 hours. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be fucking infected. And that there's a damn near guarantee that your bone is going to die.
I had a fracture like that. It wasn't my leg. It was my arm. Yeah. But I did have a
what
fracture.
What damn near pro-level sport were you playing, Steve?
Tag.
You're playing pro tag, semi pro, amateur tag, with the scouts watching.
It's fourth grade, man.
Hold on. You had a compound fracture from playing fucking tag?
I jumped off the top of a jungle gym. We were playing it on a 3-level jungle gym, and I was on the top floor, and I jumped 2 levels, which is about 12 feet.
Jesus Christ!
I made the tag, though. I did make the tag before breaking my arm. I remember it was on this kid, Mark. So I remember exactly the whole situation.
So you had a fucking compound fracture, and the bone was sticking out of the goddamn skin.
Yeah, my right arm, I broke both bones in my right arm. One was just broken inside the flesh. The other one, like my wrist kind of like pushed into my arm and the bone just stayed there and just cut its way out.
I've never seen anybody. No, I have. Never mind. I've seen somebody break an arm at a Morris County wrestling tournament.
Oh, really?
Kid from Bailey Ellard busted his fucking
arm. Was it obvious when it happened?
I was probably not paying attention, and then I just heard, "Oh, Jesus Christ!" And I look over, and the kid's fucking.
It was obvious.
And it wasn't obvious to me. I just know it happened, and I was there, and I fucking missed it. But again, one of those things that if it was done 2 weeks ago, it would be on fucking YouTube. Anyway, I've never broken a fucking bone.
Really?
Never.
Any stitches?
I've never had stitches. I've never broken a bone. The worst thing that's happened is that I tried snowboarding once with Sobers and Rhodes.
Nice.
They took to it pretty well. I didn't have a hang of how it worked, and I sprained my wrist. That's all. That's the worst that happened.
You've never sprained your ankle?
No, I sprained my fucking wrist trying to fall properly and failing while snowboarding. And how embarrassing is it that you don't have a broken bone, but you're still being rescued with a snowcat?
I have a sprained wrist. Oh.
Are you okay? I don't know. Just like
it's agonizing. It hurts so much.
I'm sorry, Steve. I wasn't in fucking the ECW of tag at your fucking stupid school. I'm glad you busted your fucking arm.
I was the only one. That's why I was jumping off the top rope.
Wait, what do you mean you were the only one? You were tagging yourself?
I was the only one that was in the ECW tag. Everyone was a league below me, but I played with them.
Did the teacher start chanting, "Holy shit"?
No, I screamed. I got up. I screamed. No, it was a manly scream at 9 years old.
Shit.
And I looked at my arm, and then I know some people saw my arm and fucking got sick. And then, you know, I ran to the nurse's office, and she looked at it, and she, like her eyes open, like, real big. And I'm like, oh, that's bad when the nurse does that.
Yeah.
And she's like, hold on, I'm calling the ambulance. I'm like, what? You can't fix it?
I went to the nurse a couple times. I think I got in a fight, and I got the wind knocked out of me. Do you remember, like, getting punched in the stomach as a kid? Like, I've never gotten the wind knocked out of me as a fucking adult or a teen. But like
I've ever had the wind knocked out of me. No,
it's the worst. You're trying to look like you're a tough fucking son of a bitch in fourth grade. You're trading shots in between games of kickball or floor hockey, and someone gets you right in the stomach, and all you do is you can't talk, you can't breathe.
Yeah, I've seen that happen, and I understand what it's probably like, but I've never had it.
I can't breathe. Constant. Shit.
Is that like your worst injury, a sprained wrist and getting the wind knocked out of you?
Listen, yes.
I've broken both arms, broken a leg. Although I never got a cast for my leg. I got a cast for both arms. It sucks having casts. It really does suck. Oh, the worst thing about
I had a fucking a brace on my sprained wrist that made me look like a middle-aged secretary.
Oh God! But the time when I broke my arm, like I had, like when I first broke my other arm, it was like basically a regular break. They reset it. Was it 8 weeks in a cast? Took it off, and then I was good. The other arm, when I broke that, because I broke both bones, my other arm. They had me in a cast. It wasn't 8 weeks. It was 16 weeks in a cast. Then it was another 10 weeks with a plaster of Paris splint under my arm, wrapped. And then after that, I had to wear like a bowling glove, basically, like an arm brace, for another like 10 weeks.
My niece...
This is like 2 years of having a fucking broke her incapacitated arm.
My niece had a broken arm.
Yeah,
she was months old. Nobody seems to know how the fuck it happened. But her first birthday party, she had a fucking pink cast on her.
Oh, that sucks, man.
Yeah, a fucking.
But she probably healed quickly. When you're young, you heal real quickly with broken bones.
Sure.
Unless you bust it through your fucking arm at 9 years old. It wasn't bleeding, though. You know what? Actually, when mine went through the skin, it wasn't bleeding. I just realized that now. Like, the bone went through.
Yeah.
And there really was no blood.
Interesting.
There was absolutely no blood. No, there was, like, red around it. Like, you know, red where it's just, like, a line of red. But it didn't, like, pour through and start gushing. I think that only happens if you, like, break a, you know, like a artery or a vein or something.
Shit. I'm looking at this picture that Sandwich Humor Jeff posted. It looks like he fucked his hand up pretty bad. Jesus Christ. Anyway. Yeah. I'm really happy that I the only trips to the school nurse were from just getting the goddamn wind knocked out of me or doing that fucking hearing test.
Oh, I hated the hearing test.
I liked reading the literature they had in the school nurse. Did you ever read any of the little pamphlets while you were in there?
I don't think I was in any condition whenever I was at the school nurse to read anything.
I read some of them, and I remember
for an ambulance.
And this is one of those that are like faint memories that I'll never forget. Anal Baby was me best chum, and Sweaty Spice. I remember there was a pamphlet, and this sentence was in it. It said, "In the showers after practice, I noticed that John had a bigger penis than me. Does that mean he's more of a man?"
Oh my God!
It was like a Q&A
because it stuck in your mind because you had to hear what they had to say.
And I'm like, what the? Who the fuck would even think that? I guess people are really insecure about their fucking dicks. It's fucking awful.
Well, that's porn's fault. I mean. Yeah.
Not back then. Porn was not like the fucking thing it is today.
Yeah, but back then, the porn that you saw...
Porn was fucking pirate treasure, and we've done this many, many times.
I know, but it was like John Holmes and friggin' Ron Jeremy, and if you think that was normal, then yeah, you have a very skewed aspect.
Does that make him more of a man than me? First of all, if you're reading this in the goddamn fourth grade school nurse, you're not a fucking man. You're fucking 9 years old.
Meanwhile, you just said you read it.
Well, yeah, I read it. It wasn't like I was asking the question. This was a printed document that I was reading.
So this is the first time learning of the question and then getting it answered for you.
And it was like, no, sizes vary from person to person. It was like, you know, it's the truth. But like,
as long as you're not Asian or Indian, you have nothing to worry about.
It's truth that doesn't have to be fucking explained. Like, it doesn't need to be put into a fucking document. But it is because apparently some fucking little boy thinks his little wee wee isn't fucking big enough.
Like, oh, no, it's probably little dick some guy. It's some guy that works at a company that puts out pamphlets for the friggin'.
He puts in like fucking subliminal bold words.
No, he's just placating his own ego. He's got a micro penis and he needs to.
I was thinking that maybe he would
ensure young kids that it's okay to have a micro penis.
I was thinking that he might like encode messages by like slightly reducing the font of certain letters to spell something out. So that he could
along
connect,
the edge, like
he could subconsciously connect with the small-dicked, insecure boys because he's a fucking freak and Megan's Law didn't exist yet.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's something else I wanted to mention, and I'm glad that it's April 2nd. I'm officially just... I need to just state this. I don't think I've ever said this thing. If you're not personally... fucking with someone's property, if you're not face to face saying something to someone, getting them to believe something verbally or through a fucking piece of paper that you've delivered them, or an email that you're delivering to one person, if you're not targeting your April Fool's bullshit to a specific person, you're fucking wasting your time. It's just a fucking annoying piece of shit fucking day. April Fool's is so fucking frustrating and so fucking just boring. Google had, what, 15 fucking...
Yeah, Google seemed to have a lot this year. They had Google Knows. which was dumb.
How much do you think they spent?
Gmail Blue.
I mean, how much do you think they spent? How many people were involved? How many fucking hours were wasted on a 30-second, for like...
And meanwhile, these people are paid well. All these people are paid well.
It's over. It's over. It's supposed to be like...
YouTube said they were shutting down. And
oh my God, my chair at work is broken. Oh wait, it's April 1st. The guys got me again. That's what it's supposed to fucking be.
Yeah.
It's just fucking terrible. I hate it. I absolutely fucking hate it. Oh wait, let's see what Blizzard's going to do today. Are they going to make a fake game? Are they going to come out with a fake game?
Oh, I didn't even look up Blizzard.
Shit.
I didn't even see what they
did. I read something very interesting, and it was like a sentence, basically, on John Gruber's Daring Fireball, whatever the fuck it is. If you read tech blogs, you probably read this shit. Holy shit, he just went fucking apeshit. He called it Internet Jackass Day. Okay, Internet Jackass Day. April Fool's Day gags from Google. Half a dozen. April Fool's Day gags from Apple, zero. I suspect one's preference for which company they admire more breaks strongly along the lines of how one feels about the above stats. Now, okay, the guy usually slants towards Apple, but it's an interesting fucking point that Apple didn't fucking waste their time doing this shit. And they're not the only company that didn't fucking waste their time doing this shit. Good companies are just fucking doing their goddamn jobs and not trying to publicly fool and amuse their goddamn customers with silly fucking goddamn gags and fucking videos that were produced. Just stupid. I hate Google's goddamn.
There's April another Fool's thing about bullshit. April Fool's jokes. Like sometimes people like say stuff and they have no intention of doing it yet. I think it's the greatest idea ever. Like they had, I think it was a Game of Thrones posted that they were getting rid of Peter Dinklage, who was, you know, like top billing fucking dwarf in all of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they said they're not renewing him for a fourth season, and they're going with Warwick Davis from Willow fame.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? I thought about it. I'm like, dude, if Warwick Davis played that role, he would have been much better than Peter Dinklage. He's my favorite dwarf.
I don't like that show. First of all, I don't like talking about it.
I like it.
I don't like watching it. But the parts I did see, fucking Peter Dinklage is the shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And happy go lucky smiley fucking Warwick Davis is not going to do shit with that fucking role.
He's not happy go lucky in Harry Potter, man. He's pretty evil in Harry Potter.
I don't give a fuck. I never saw him in Harry Potter. I'll never watch a fucking Harry Potter movie.
You're missing out.
I'm missing out, Steve. Did you watch
I think
him?
You're missing out.
Did you watch him with anybody?
Every single one of them. I own them all.
What?
I own them all.
How many are there? There's like 1,000.
I think there's 8 movies.
And you own all of them. You own? Yep. Did you buy it as a box set or individually?
Nope. Bought them all individually.
When someone says "or," don't just say "nope," unless both are false, which would be fucking bad.
No, I said no. I did not buy it as a box set. Yes, I own them all individually.
There was a pause when I said "what." Anyway, yeah, I think that's really weird.
I like Harry Potter?
Yes, I think it's fucking weird.
Why?
Why do you like it? It's a
kid. Dude. I fucking LARPed. And you're putting the Harry Potter.
Fair enough.
Me?
Never mind. Yeah.
Come on.
I think I'm dealing with a rational human, but you had imaginary fucking wars.
No.
Imaginary rune battles.
Harry Potter is not like... All right. The first couple movies, you know what? I think this is my take on the whole thing. It starts out really kiddy. Like the first 2-3 movies... It's pretty kiddy. And then, like, it starts getting grittier and grittier. People start dying. And then by the end, dude, people die by the fucking scores by the end of the movie. People are dying left and right.
You know what? You're not going to sell me out. I just don't care.
I'm not trying to sell you on. I'm just saying.
Harry Potter, people love Harry Potter. Great. Right. I hear people talking about it passionately. There are fucking websites and communities that still talk about it, that love it, fucking live it, dress up like it, shove it up their asses, see, shit it out, and eat it. But, Steven, hearing people talk like that about it is like hearing people talk about baseball today and yesterday.
Shut up.
I don't give a fuck about baseball anymore.
That's because
I am,
you're a
I'm fan. Done. I've evolved.
You're a Mets
it's
fan.
Over. It's over.
You're a Mets fan, so you're jaded, and that's your opinion.
I just don't.
You like?
I'm
did you play
not
Little League?
Fucking excited.
Did you play Little
of
League?
Of course I did, and I was goddamn fair at best.
So was I. No, but like that's the thing. You like baseball?
What percentage of kids that were good at Little League were good at anything else? That's what I want to know. Like there's the one or two kids, I guess, that are like just great at everything they do.
And like the way I saw it in Little League, like the smarter kids were definitely better during Little League because you knew how to use rules. You know, like dumb kids were just terrible at Little League. Even if you had natural talent, if you were dumb.
I mean, like, what do rules really have to do with Little League and being good? Being good in Little League is you can throw a fucking strike and you can hit one. That's it. That's really all being good is. I mean, there's no fucking fielding highlight reel for fucking Little League. I mean, maybe in the Little League World Championships, but let's fucking face it. None of us have fucking been on that level. We've all had this shitty small town Little League, and we've all been fucking terrible and kind of okay sometimes.
My town has made it to the Little League World Series multiple times, and I live in a very small town. You know the name of my town. We're not going to say it now, but they've been.
Was it Flavortown?
Yes, Flavortown, man. We're off the freaking chain over here with baseball.
Yeah, the home of donkey sauce. By the way, I'm not gonna put it past Goatweed. Again, he's reaching out to Guy Fieri. Again. I have a feeling. I think he'll deliver.
Goatweed has some magic, I think.
It would be. He writes, it would be awesome if at Guy Fieri called into the at DJ New Style show tonight to talk about his new book. Like, if I saw that, I'd be like,
"What's his new book?" I want to know about his new book.
He has some fucking book, probably called Douchery.
Donkey sauce. The book coming out now. It's off the chain.
Guy Fieri's book title: Douche: Colon My Story. What would you think his book title is? Let's just start doing book titles.
Town, a quick tour.
Just gel. A picture of him with his arms crossed, and the title is just gel.
How to be the son in a school play.
Now you have to, Steve, you have to paint the cover. You have to tell me what the cover looks like, and you have to give me your title. Your Guy Fieri book title. If anybody wants to call in, 316-768-4472. If you happen to have a title for Guy Fieri's book,
because we don't know.
Paint a picture.
Did he write it?
I don't know. I didn't even know he had a fucking book. Goatweed is trying to push him, so he's trying to butter him up.
But that's what, Goatweed is a genius.
Well, he is. He did the same thing with Sally Kellerman. He's like, why don't you talk about your new song on the DJ Newstyle show?
No, but the thing is, everybody wants to talk about the goddamn book they just wrote. Like, everyone you see on a late night talk show is plugging a book. Like, how many of them? Like, they do the book tour, and, like, you put out a book, and then you just start doing, like, every single little this show on that, anything that you get any response on, just get yourself out there as much as possible. That's what always happens. So Goatweed is a genius for pushing that angle.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style show with Steve LaLarper. Who's this?
Yeah, it's Frank.
Do you have a title for Guy Fieri's book?
No, I don't have it. I don't have no title.
Oh, come on! I'll go fuck off!
Listen, I had a terrible experience today.
Uh-oh. You're right, Frank?
Listen to me.
Tell your story, Frank.
Are you familiar with a fast food place called Salad Works?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You actually go to fucking Salad Works?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. It's the most frightening fucking place there could ever be.
Why do you say that?
Because they're all like, okay, this may be vaguely racist, but in our area, it's absolutely true. Burgeoning Indian immigrants have decided that the way to get their family business together is to purchase a franchise and open it up. And more often than not, the well-known franchises are very expensive. So they end up going towards the cheaper, lesser-known ones, like your Pollo Tropical or your
Dunkin'
fucking
Donuts.
Your Salad Works establishments. And
local liquor store?
Look, it's not a rule, but it's just what happens a lot in my experiences. If I see a restaurant... there's no way to get around this. I'm just going to say this. Every time I see a fucking, nearly every time.
Yes.
God, how can I say Indians are dirty without fucking being incredibly racist?
You just did. So keep going.
Okay, in most cases, a fast food restaurant owned and operated by Indians, they don't really take care of the cleanliness of the place, and they don't have concerns of food safety, and they opt more for stretching their ingredients longer than they should. Okay.
Right.
Frank, please continue with your story. I'm sorry. Salad Works.
My disappointment with Salad Works was not even remotely related to the cleanliness factor at all.
Okay.
But now you got me more worried. But anyway, when I go, you know, they have about 8 or 10 different already done salads that you can pick from, your Cobb salad, you know, your Autumn Harvest salad, you know, all that other crap.
Well, to explain to anyone who doesn't know what Salad Works is, it's bins of ingredients and you can make your own salad. But apparently they have a few selections of pre-made salads, is what you just said. Okay, continue.
Right. And... Well, you're familiar with a Greek salad, correct?
Yes.
What kind of dressing is on a Greek salad?
Oil and vinegar.
Yep. That's it.
Are you sure about that? Is it a Greek dressing?
It's like a vinegar.
It's oil, vinegar, oregano.
It's a vinegar-based dressing.
Okay.
It's Greek oregano, oil, vinegar.
She asked me what kind of dressing I wanted on it, and I said, whatever goes with a Greek salad.
Oh, no.
And to her, a French dressing goes with Greek salad.
Oh, shit. Oh, is that the...
Unfortunately, I didn't realize until I fucking drove off because I got it to go. So I'm having a Greek salad with French dressing.
Ew, you got a fucking Salad Works salad to go. Oh, my God.
You should think that through. Like, you got a Salad Works salad to go. Like, maybe you should just stop at the store, buy some oil and vinegar... Buy a bagged salad.
Yeah, you realize you paid about 500 times more than what the ingredients cost.
I pay, I think, $9.50 for a small bowl of fucking romaine lettuce.
What?
Frank, they sell pre-made bags of salad at fucking ShopRite The Experience. You go there and fucking just buy it pre-made for like $4. A bag.
Just a fucking waste of money, man.
Yeah. I mean, the whole appeal of Salad Works is that, I'm going to build my own fucking salad, and if I want sesame seeds, then sesame seeds I'm going to have.
It's like that fucking frozen yogurt. I mean, you buy it by the fucking pound. By the time you get to the register, it's like $82 for a fucking small cup of fucking frozen yogurt.
I'm taking this hostility to be that of a man who has brought his entire family to a yogurt place. and told them to go nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's then at the end they have a fucking big scale. You got to fucking plop it on there, and then you know, you end up paying
you have
three five people yogurt.
You have three kids, and kids never get more than they're going to eat, do they, Frank?
No, he puts the M&Ms, he puts the gummy worms, and then just
they put the heaviest fucking can. Like they have goddamn turtles, like entire fucking. Almond clusters that weigh like 17 pounds.
It cost me $54 plus tax for fucking yogurts for five people.
Some of these fucking ingredients are stars with less density than these fucking ingredients. You put one little chunk of a fucking frozen pineapple in your goddamn yogurt, you're paying it like $1. It's terrible. You go there and you try to get like a little, I want a little fucking cup. I only want to pay a couple...
What I do is sometimes they have a little trial cup, so I get a whole bunch of little trial cups and start filling up on those fucking trial cups, and just I just suck them down as I'm fucking filling them up.
You know what I do, Frank? And this is going to drive you nuts. They'll give me the usual 2 to 3 cups. I'll fill them up, squeeze the yogurt into my fucking mouth and eat it, and I'll fill the same cup up again.
I hear you.
Yeah. And don't think that's not happening with every motherfucker in that place. They're all taking their licked on little cups, putting them butt up next to the goddamn nozzle, and fucking making a goddamn cone. You can stack that fucking yogurt pretty high in there. So you got a fucking salad for $9.50, a Greek salad.
It was $9.50 for a romaine salad with a Greek salad with French dressing.
Why did you choose Salad Works? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, I wanted somewhere that was quick yet not fast food. So that was like I was in.
It's fast food. Salad.
You mean like not terrible for you, right?
Right. I didn't want anything greasy, and I thought, you know, how could you go wrong with eating a salad? I was disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it.
You know, if you want a salad and you don't want to fucking go into a store where you just buy the salad, I guess, from a produce section, really not that big a deal, go to Wendy's or McDonald's and get their shitty fucking salads. Cheaper and do you better. I don't know.
I get the Boston Market. They have the salad as well, but sometimes their chicken smells like cat food a little bit, so it makes me all nauseous.
Look at the owner. Ask for the owner's name next time, and then when fucking Vikram Chakradar hands you his business card, then you'll know why it smells a little like cat food.
Frank, how often do you eat out?
Well, when I'm on the road, I probably eat lunch out maybe like 2 or 3 times a week.
I think that's fucking grossly underestimated.
I think it is too.
I would say
I only eat out when I'm on the road.
Yourself on the road?
Okay, Frank. I would say Frank that you purchase a week 6 meals out a week.
That's grossly over exaggerated.
No way. And thank you for using the same fucking phrase that I used.
did you say that?
I said grossly underestimated before. Anyway.
I said over-exaggerated.
I would say 6 meals a week. Okay, where do you eat breakfast? At home?
Yeah, I mean...
You never eat a breakfast out?
Well, I went out to and got an omelet yesterday at the diner.
Okay. And
where do you eat lunch?
But it was an omelet for lunch. It wasn't breakfast.
Okay.
But where do you usually eat lunch?
It depends. I usually, it depends on what time I go out. If I'm out at lunchtime, I go out at lunch. I eat a lot of burritos. I enjoy burritos. Moe's.
So when are you cooking for yourself in this time?
He doesn't cook. Are you kidding?
Like you say 2 to 3 times a week.
Frank doesn't know how to cook.
2 to 3 times a week. Frank, is that it?
Frank, have you ever prepared food for yourself that wasn't microwavable?
I mean, I just like a sandwich.
So he's at like a second grade level of preparing food for himself.
Right.
He's got.
You know what I do make though? I will toast bread and make a peanut butter and banana sandwich on bread.
Amazing.
We'll do that.
Elvis.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Aren't you worried it's going to bind you up a little bit?
That's good.
Oh, I don't mind because this way it'll save me time. I won't have to take a dump.
Right. No. See, Frank knows.
Yeah, it's good. Just store it in yourself for fucking 2 weeks.
Let it fester.
So,
Can you tell I'm calling from my phone and not my Skype?
Yeah, I know that. So, Frank, right. The Salad Works, the issue I have there is that the ingredients are just out for everybody to fucking screw with. And they don't change them very often. Like, how... Like, people mix the fucking... They cross-contaminate spoons. It's a fucking miserable experience.
It's like buffets. Buffets are the exact same shit.
Amanda and I were out at some mall. She's like, oh, there's a Salad Works. We used to go there all the time in high school. I'm like, oh, I've never been to a Salad Works. Let's try it. I'm like, oh, it's a fucking salad bar. This is.
Well, they've been around that long since you guys were in high school. That's like 10 years ago. They're still, there's only been that many locations.
14.
So. Yeah, I guess so. And so she takes me to this place and I make my salad and I'm like, this is like the most fucking. This is like the worst experience I've ever had in my life. Not because it was tasted bad. Now because like I'm looking around, it's so fucking depressing. Oh, you can look at everybody's face. It's like I really wanted to be healthier. Like that's what everybody's face looks like. It's like, God, why am I where I am? I should have just eaten better. Salad works.
Sad.
That's the fucking tagline for Salad Works. What's that?
What's popular now in restaurants? It's something called a wedge. It's a wedge of iceberg lettuce with
called a wedge salad, dressing Frank. It's not popular now. It's been around for probably about 30 years.
Yeah, it's a thing that I guess is making a resurgence in like the places that didn't typically have them. Fridays will have a wedge salad now. Do you enjoy them, Frank? Do you like a wedge?
It's quite delicious.
It's not.
It's quite
bad.
Delicious. I do enjoy it. I had a wedge salad.
It's a fucking half bottle of blue cheese. It's two pieces of bacon, a half bottle of blue cheese, and fucking like tomatoes diced up.
Yeah, Frank, you realize salads are only as healthy as what's on top of them.
Yeah.
Because so many people, they just dump blue cheese, ranch, Caesar dressing. All those dressings are is like 100% fat and cholesterol.
My favorite thing is to look at the serving the suggested size of a serving for salad dressing. It's like
it's like 322.
One teaspoon. yeah, you get 322 servings out of a fucking bottle. Meanwhile, I guarantee you, Frank, you use at least 1 to 2 shot glasses of dressing every salad.
Frank needs to coat the whole entire thing, doesn't he?
Excuse me?
How much dressing do you use on a salad?
I pour it on it down the top so you can't see the lettuce anymore.
So it's a soup.
You end up, when you're done with your salad, it's just a ceviche. Bowl of dressing.
It's a salad ceviche.
Yeah. It's awful. Frank, what are you up to? What's new with you, buddy?
Not much. This was, I heard you talking about Guy Fieri. I thought about food. I thought about this. I thought about that. I figured I'd give you guys a call.
Well, thank you. Do you have a title for the Guy Fieri book?
No, I don't. I didn't even know he was writing one. Does he still do that show, that game show?
Game
what?
Show?
He does Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
No, he was doing that show Minute to Win It or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I remember that. Only you would fucking know him for the shitty game show he did.
Minute to Win It?
Yeah, this was like some fucking... fucking...
Wow.
Terrible challenge bullshit. Like, dudes, so you're going to face off. If you can get 17 rings thrown on the black guy's dick in 60 seconds, you're going to get $1 million. Is that great, everybody? It's one of those game shows where the setting is a darkened arena just filled with people because they figured out that worked during Millionaire. So I don't believe he's still doing that show. I think I saw one episode of it.
I know you're a fan now of Gordon Ramsay. You watch
his
show?
It's fucking bland.
We are both fans of Gordon.
Yeah,
Ramsay.
I am. I only like the yelling montages. That's
are you
all
liking
I like.
The Hell's Kitchen? Or are you not watching it?
I'm not watching it.
I don't watch
the highlights after it's over.
I don't watch it. I watched a 10-minute, maybe 20-minute video of him just yelling at people.
No, that was a 67-minute video.
Whatever it was,
donkey.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, it's
madam,
it's whatever.
Madam,
yeah. Piss off.
This is horse.
Get out! Get out! It's fucking bland. I don't know. It doesn't seem productive. It doesn't seem like you're going to find your ideal chef by yelling at fucking everybody.
No, because
has he ever just thrown everybody out and have to cook all the shit himself?
I think he has on the show.
I saw him get down to one person. I'm like, what the like? How are you gonna do anything? Like, you're yelling at these people for not putting on a good service, and you're fucking sacrificing everybody except one guy.
No. On one of his shows, there was a girl who didn't do lunch service; she only did dinner, and it was in the middle of Paris. And he's like, this girl doesn't know what she's doing. He opened up the restaurant himself, took the key, opened it up, did the entire lunch service, only served tomato soup and grilled cheese. And he made like $6,000 doing breakfast with soup and fucking grilled cheese.
Because he's fucking world renowned. If that fucking show contestant didn't do it.
But this is France. They don't really like English people. So, like, okay. I give them credit for that.
So, Frank, what do you like about this guy so much?
Oh, I don't like anything about it. I enjoy the show. It's an entertaining show. That's all. I enjoy his programs. He has the Kitchen Nightmares. A lot of them actually are filmed in New Jersey.
All of them fail. Every single one of them goes under. None of them are open.
There was one that, he did one in Plainfield, and that recently was in the news that it's closing up shop.
Yeah,
so.
Of course.
Yeah, it's season one of his show. They said 60% of the restaurants he visited either sold or just went under.
You like can't.
Yeah, but three people who were on his show killed the three contestants killed themselves.
Because what?
One restaurant owner jumped off of I think the GWB.
Holy shit! Really.
And two people on Kitchen Nightmares killed themselves. Hell's Kitchen killed themselves through the.
Holy cow, dude!
You can't yell at somebody who's not a good business person and make their business better. You can't just fucking yell them into being into success.
You know who has the most successful restaurants? I was reading like the 10 top ranked restaurants of 2012.
Who?
Mario Batali, the fucking most humble guy. You know, like.
How do you know he's humble?
I have a problem with a chef who wears Crocs to cook. Well, that guy wears fucking Crocs.
Oh, wait, what's wrong with Crocs?
I understand that you still invest in them.
I don't invest in them.
I never
invest.
I owned the stock in 2007 for like 3 months. It had a good run. What do you have against Crocs, though? I don't understand. I mean, they're stupid shoes.
And you have polka dot dirty. Your feet are polka dot dirty. You have polka dot dirty feet. Because my kids wear them in the summer.
Polka dot
and
dirty.
And they take their shoes off. They're polka dot. They have polka dot dirt feet.
Oh yeah, which would be true if Mario Batali was cooking his fucking pasta in a goddamn playground, but he's not.
But Mario Batali is getting to the point that Paul Prudhomme was getting in. Where Paul Prudhomme had to sit when he was fucking cooking because he was so fucking fat.
No, that's how Mario
was. Oh, shit. He's going to have that grandma stool in front of the stove.
Right.
Just stirring it while with his arm above his head. Stirring
Frank
the fucking pot.
The stool out of it because Mario Batali lost like 50 pounds, dude.
Really?
He's all light on his feet now and he has like the top. He has like five of the top 10 ranked restaurants.
Are any of them in New Jersey?
New York, Manhattan.
Doesn't change the fact that he does not have a chin. Doesn't change that fact.
I think he might have one now. I'm not sure. I haven't seen, but I know he's lost a lot of weight.
He looks like he's always just caught a fish. I don't know.
No, but you know what? I like him because he's not like Guy Fieri at all. You know, he goes when he had his cooking show, he would make something, it would be traditional, and he'd learn how to cook it. Now, like what's the other one with Robert Irvine, Kitchen Impossible?
By the way, Guy Fieri book title, Wings with a Z, N' Strings with a Z.
Wings and Strings?
Yeah, and he's got a chicken wing in his mouth, and he's playing an electric guitar that isn't plugged in on the cover. Wings and Strings.
Got Wi-Fi.
And there's and he's on fire.
It's a Wi-Fi guitar. It's straight from Flavortown. They make them here.
And he's on fire. Guy Fieri. No, Steven, this is all fucking made up. What are you talking about? Is he? Jesus Christ. Yes, he is. That's his book.
He's fucking on fire.
Wings and Strings. Be sure to pick it up on Amazon. HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. Frank, do you do a lot of online shopping?
When I do it on Amazon.
Well, you should go to HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. Click the link over to Amazon. Buy whatever it is you want to buy. You know, there was somebody last week who suggested that they were going to make some goofy purchases. And we were there going to be so goofy that we were going to talk about them. And I'm like, yeah, do your fucking worst. We're not going to talk about your fucking dumb purchase. Oh, what are you going to buy? Hangover 2? Fucking Blu-ray? Wow, really lighten it up. Another dick cream? Is that what you're going to fucking get? And then I actually looked at what was purchased. And I realized that this person did buy something very odd. They bought some medical equipment. Somebody bought some medical equipment.
It's very specific medical equipment.
Frank, do you want to guess? It's a device for a body part. And it's a device for...
50% of the body parts.
Okay, Frank, why don't you guess which body part perhaps this medical device might be for?
Ears?
No. And all it says is it's gender specific. Do you want to take a guess?
Well, if it's gender specific, it's got to be your nether regions there. Your ding-a-ling.
You are getting warmer.
Yep.
Testicles?
No, sir.
Cold.
Very cold. Freezing, in fact.
I don't know.
Like, you can't what understand the hot and cold.
How much is left that you give up?
No.
How many parts are there that you fucking give up?
It's testicles.
Testicles or nothing.
You're cold.
Yeah.
So where do you go from there?
Frank's road sign would be testicles or butt.
I said you're ding-a-ling. You said no.
Yeah, you're very cold. So what's the opposite of being very cold? Yeah. Hot. What's the opposite of testicles, Frank?
Well, it can't be anus because that's not gender-specific.
No, that's not the opposite of testicles, Frank.
Okay, so if it's gender-specific and it's not a ding-dong or
it's
testicles...
it's the opposite of testicles.
What is it?
What's the opposite of testicles, Frank?
You're ding-a-ling.
No.
Holy
that's
shit.
Not the opposite.
How about this? Let's really spell it out. Frank, it is not for men.
Oh. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, probably some kind of vaginal cream of some sort, or
close. Well, it is for the vagina.
It's not a cream though.
It is a medical device for the vagina.
A sepulcher?
One of our kind listeners has decided to make a purchase that brightens their day, which was that of a Graphco stainless steel Peterson vaginal speculum.
That's exactly what I was trying to say, speculum.
Yeah, we know. 17 times into it, we figured it out.
Is a speculum utilized for sexual pleasure?
No, in some of the videos that like an Ed McGrath would watch where like they fucking spread it open so you can just see everything.
Well, that's maybe where Frank gets it from, then.
Sometimes there are pornography films where they have the point of view of a doctor. Basically, everything is just completely torn open, whether it's from just massive experience or because they're using one of these devices. And I imagine Ed McGrath would be into those.
Yeah.
I don't think you would use a speculum for just fucking fun. I really.
Why would somebody who's not in the medical profession buy a speculum?
How do you know they're not?
Oh,
I don't know who it is. Maybe there's some doctor who enjoys a podcast, or maybe it's the sick freak who's going to kidnap a lady and fucking spread her twat wide open.
Or the crazy guy that sent us an email with a blurred picture of his at least 70-year-old face with a crazy attachment of text next to it.
You call him crazy. I thank him for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Please don't kill us.
If anybody has to go first, make sure it's Steve. That's what I'll say. Here's the order. If you're gonna hunt the members of the show, which I urge you not to do. If you should choose people to hunt from the show, which again I urge you not to do, the order would be Steven.
Frank.
Frank.
And then Frank again.
And then that's where it ends. So.
All right.
There was a guy named Kyle who emails us occasionally. He's a big fan. He sends us very confusing images. I have no idea what they are most of the time. And I am kind of frightened, but I encourage him to keep listening. Keep emailing, and just keep a distance, please. Holy shit!
Did you ever see the movie Legion?
No, and I won't.
Where the people turn into demons and their heads start shaking and they get all
yeah,
blurred.
No, I did see that, and that's what his picture looked like. It was like a really blurry picture of his.
But his chin is in focus.
Yeah,
but the rest of his head is definitely shaking.
But he just took the phone and went real quick, just and then snapped it. Hats off to someone who bought a medium size. By the way, I didn't know these came in sizes. I guess they have to. A medium speculum.
Well, I guess they didn't have to get the large.
So they're not looking to look at any huge pussies, ladies.
They're not going that big into
this
it.
This person's not into to putting eyes on a huge pussy. They just want to spread an average size one open. Just look for pock marks. What do you do? You spread it open and just, what, see if the walls are good?
You know what? I almost think it's best that it's a medium because I think a small would be scary.
If it's small.
I think a large would be probably a little more scary than a little.
There's got to be an FBI flag that happens with every purchase of a small speculum from fucking Amazon. So
right,
please,
exactly.
HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. Buy whatever you enjoy. I'm just gonna say
legal
that.
Purposes. For
you know
legal
what?
Purposes.
And I don't want to make listeners feel self-conscious. If what you're into is a small speculum, by all means, fucking rock it out. Purchase that thing and do whatever it is you got to do with it, as long as within the goddamn bounds of these fucking laws that govern this fine country and whatever state you happen to be in.
I agree.
But goddamn, thank you to whoever that was. And also, they bought the one that had 3 stars out of 5. There are negative.
Is there a 5-star?
There are negative reviews on this vaginal speculum. Well, and Erka Durka is saying they hurt. So you are all aware, even the small ones. And I know this because when I said, "Hey Amanda, look what someone bought," she looked at it and goes, "Those aren't fun." She goes, "Those aren't fun," and walked away. Let's see, 1-star reviews for the vaginal speculum. It 1-star posted March 15th, 2013. The title is "Don't!" Just don't, in all caps. Problem one is it's made very poorly. The ends are fairly sharp, which makes insertion an extremely delicate process. The metal is very, very thin and bends incredibly easy. It's not easy to adjust once inserted, and I was told the edges are very uncomfortable once in. Looks like they poke into the area around the point of insertion. Nothing nicer than a jagged bit of metal in a sensitive body area. Holy shit. Okay.
I'm glad there's no apparatus for cocks.
There are several 1-star reviews. Another one says, "Not smooth. 1-star. The one I got was not smooth on the tip, so I returned it. That was the problem I noticed, so I didn't use it." So I guess this is a thing that people just use on themselves to what, like stand over a mirror and check out their fucking lady parts?
No, you know what? I think if you made a speculum that was called Super Smooth Speculum 9000.
I'm going to call it Smoothie Non-Sharpie.
No, Super Smooth Speculum 9000. Girls would be all right. Cool. That's you can do your doctor stuff now. You have the super smooth, and it would a suede.
Oh my god! When this arrived, it was in pieces. The packaging was torn and crushed.
Someone's trying to get into it.
It's a piece of junk. Thanks for the scrap metal. Holy shit. People were dissatisfied with their speculum purchases.
Wasn't it $10 or something on Amazon?
It's about $11, yeah.
Yeah. So this is like a main piece of
I got to go through a couple more of these fucking reviews, okay? It says 2-star review, not that easy to use. Not that easy to use. Disposable plastic speculums are easier to use. Plus, you can just dispose of them instead of having to sterilize them. Tried this one out, but it's a complete pain to use. Yes, you'll end up spending more on the disposable ones, but it's well worth the investment for the hassle it saves. I give this one 2 stars because it does work, even if it is a bit frustrating. That's a fair review. And what's frightening is that the word sterilize was used, which I didn't realize. I kind of figured you had to, but people are putting this into their vaginas and sterilizing it and realizing they're dissatisfied with the products. What about the people who try it out, say it's too sharp, and try to return it without sterilizing it?
I'm sure it happens a lot.
Does Amazon fucking dump these in a goddamn fucking steam bath?
I don't know. I assume Amazon just destroys them because Amazon has a pretty good.
They better not fucking take them back. That's all.
There has to be some kind of you cannot return this fucking policy with this stuff.
Steve, I think I'm going to partner with you on the Super Smooth Speculum 9000 for your twats and goddamn slits.
Super smooth. Speculum, 9,000.
That's right. That's where it's at for the Steve LaRpa. You're an idea man, and you will learn the skills necessary to bring your vision to light. Thank you very much for being a part of the show, for being a goddamn co-host. Thank you to Frank for calling in. And
thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Frank, you're still there? I thought you hung up.
Oh, Frank is a trooper. That's a trooper.
Frank, wait, hold on.
Taking my call.
Wait, hold on. Why are you just lurking?
Frank worked hard right there. That's a hard lurk.
Wow, listen to you guys.
Okay, all right. Well, Frank, I guess we'll go back to it. And thank you very much for calling the show.
Thanks.
Do you have anything you want to say, Frank?
No.
Thank you. Great. Steven, do you have anything you want to say?
Super smooth Speculum 9000 coming to a vaginal
coming to a vagina near you.
Very soon.
Spread it open, ladies. It's going to get you to open your vagina after opening your fucking wallet.
Gynecologist, that's the
This shit is going to cost you, bitches. This isn't going to be your cheap $11 speculum. You're going to fucking shell out some sweet coin for this pussy spreader.
I got the line. You're going to open the visit to your gynecologist. There we go.
Okay, there you go. DJNewsStyleShow.com. We're on Hear Us Talk. We're part of the HearUsTalk.com podcast network. Along with us, Best in Show Radio, Truth Time Theater, and Bug Zapper Radio. Download all the shows, subscribe on iTunes, or however you want to do it. iTunes is great, though. Go there, subscribe, leave a comment. Rate our fucking shows. If you listen, do it. And thank you for your support. Thank you very much for listening and passing it along. We really appreciate it. And hey, thanks to Guy Fieri, who couldn't make it tonight. Busy promoting his book, Bitch Tits and Barbecues.
He's too busy in Flavortown. It's very packed. Here.
Bitch Tits and Barbecues. He's clutching his man tits, and he has a fucking rack of ribs in his mouth sticking out like a cartoon tongue. Bitch Tits and Barbecues. Anyway, Steven, thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. DJNewStyleShow.com. And have a good week.
Give it to me, baby. Give it to me.
Go suck banana. Fuck you.